This is Keith R.A. DeCandido, writer of the Farscape comic books, and you are listening to 15 Minutes with Mark Wade, who remains evil.
Hi, I'm Mark Wade, broadcasting live from the Boom Studios.
I'm Daphne Plevin, editorial assistant and tech monkey.
That's right, and we're here with another Mark Wade podcast. This week, rather than sell you on something that we're doing here, I want to talk about the time that I threw myself across the table at a director and nearly killed him. So,
what a way to set up a story.
I know. So this is about comics, I promise. This is about... It started about 3 years ago. I was working with my friends Eric and George, who are animators, on this project that we've been trying to get off the ground for a while. There were sizzle reels and previews of it online a few times. If you Google somewhere and look for Five Killers, you can find it. It's a little action short that we did to sell. The idea was doing a animated 6-episode television series along the lines of Afro Samurai, something that was, you know, 6 episodes in and out, complete story. So in the process of doing this, the idea was the production house we were working with at the time, they were stationed in Japan, and yet they had an American outlet here in Los Angeles as well. So the idea was to try to do something a little revolutionary in terms of structure. Anime is all, you know, it's images and animation first and a vague idea of story, and then dialogue and so forth added later. They do come at it from a completely different... And I'm not even being judgmental. They're just coming at it from a completely different point of view. They come at it very much from a traditional animated standard of storyboards first, animation first, and then sort of tailoring the story, the actual dialogue and so forth around that. What we wanted to do was something that was exactly the opposite. We wanted to write it like you would write an American TV show with full scripts, with art direction, and then basically animate that. So the idea was to go over there and go to their studios in Tokyo and sit down with one of their directors they were wanting to work with, and we would explain what the American point of view on storytelling is and how we're coming at it. And Eric was great for that, because Eric also speaks fluent Japanese, and Eric worked with the company, and so he could play both sides. And then they were going to talk on their end about, okay, well, from their point of view, this is how we come across stories. This is where we begin on our end when we begin the creative process. In theory, a really good conversation about Eastern versus Western creative philosophy. So we go over there. I'd never been to Tokyo, by the way. Gorgeous place. And by the way, just apropos of nothing, the thing that didn't freak me out about Tokyo as bad as I thought it would is that, you know, all I've seen is Lost in Translation. Mm-hmm. I just figured I'd be standing in the middle of, you know, a big Times Square area and would be lost and freaked out, wouldn't know where to go. I'm here to tell you that at least in the parts of Tokyo I was in, and there were a lot of them, there was not a single place that you could stand and not see a word of English somewhere. Even if it wasn't exactly the right translation, there was a sense of familiarity. You said you were over there, right?
Yeah.
Did you get that sense?
Yeah, no, okay. It was. I mean, I was terrified to go there, but my friend was teaching English, and yeah. I was like, do not leave me alone. I will get lost.
Right.
I get lost in Fresno.
Yeah.
Tokyo is beyond my capabilities as a human being. And
right.
They, you know, most people, someone there will speak English.
Exactly. And like I said, there was just
And they're friendly. And
yeah.
The food is delicious.
Food's delicious. And there's just that, there's enough Americana around without it being overpowering that you don't feel you don't feel like you're on the moon. You don't feel like you're on another planet completely. You feel like there's enough touchstones there culturally. So at least that was how I felt.
Yeah, no. Right. It feels like, in some places, it feels like a neighborhood in L.A. or New York.
Exactly.
Or...
All right, so anyway, so we go over, and we're sitting there. Eric and George and I are on one side of the table, and the Japanese director and his little clique are on the other side of the table. And they begin. So they start the day, and they start talking about where they come up with ideas and this. And basically what it boils down to is they talk about theme a lot. They talk about... when they start stories, they think of the idea of a beautiful girl who is longing for something, and that is their starting point. And then they start to build a story on top of that, which is really not at all how we approach things over here. We tend to approach things from a much more plot-oriented standpoint.
Linearly.
Yeah, exactly. A lot more linearly and a lot more from not necessarily not from character, but still we generally don't start with nothing but, like, they start with nothing but character.
Well, it almost feels like they're always trying to answer an existential question. Like, even great pieces, like, great, there's fantastic, there's amazing, but, like, you know, Cowboy Bebop or... Yeah. You just watch it, and there's this emotion that they're trying to achieve and instill in the viewer, and it sometimes feels backwards to what we're used to.
It's I mean, you know, again, this is in no way passing any sort of judgment on the, the material. It's
different.
It's interesting point of view. So
we are treading such.
Well, so they go through this. No, we get to the angry part now. So we go through all this, and we're polite, and we sit there for the, you know, 5 hours that it takes them through translators to tell us this. And this is, I mean, it's interesting, but we, you know, there's also a sort of a sense of, they were coming to the table with a sense of, this is how it's done. And we kind of immediately began to, our radar was going up. Like, I don't think they kind of get that the point of this is to a meeting
meld
of the
styles,
to meld
yeah.
the styles. So already, like, at one point or another, one of us was ready to leap across the table and the other two were like smiling and holding us back. Well, then it became my turn, because then we started talking about the American way of doing things. We tried to explain our story to them, which came more from a character / plot point of view. You know, you got these five characters, and here's what they're trying to accomplish, and here's what the challenge is ahead of them, and so forth. And they were just puzzled. They didn't get what the story was about, if you will. And so we took another pass at it. We said, well, listen, it's this and it's this. And if you think of Rocky, the movie, or any sort of redemption movie, that's kind of what it's about. Nothing. Staring at us like we had emus on our heads. And so finally, the Japanese director gets up and he says, let me explain the concept of theme. And I'm thinking this is going to go very badly, because I know what theme is. Thank you. But he stands up and he goes, and I want to preface by saying, they knew my resume. I just want to point this out. So he stands up and he says, let's talk about theme. Let's use an example that everyone knows. Let's talk about, say, the movie Spider-Man. Yes.
Yes.
And he says, the theme of Spider-Man is love. And I lost my mind. And I just stood up and I said, the theme of Spider-Man is not love. The theme of Spider-Man is responsibility. It's on the poster. And by the way, can I please have a show of hands of everyone in this room who has written Spider-Man?
There is a question there, though, of, I mean, you see the movies that play to American audiences, mm-hmm. and you see the movies that play to Japanese audiences.
Right.
And people respond to these things differently based on the culture and literature that they're familiar with. And maybe it's legitimate that if he's trying to sell Spider-Man in Japan, that the theme is love.
I would give any amount of money to see somebody prove to me that the theme of Spider-Man is love. I don't know how you get that out of that. I have no idea how you get that out of that. There's love in the movie because it's a movie about human beings. The theme.
Maybe that's what he was really. Oh, you're gonna jump over the table.
I'm gonna jump over the table at you. Exactly. Big sort of wet hammer sounds next. You know, man, it's that's what the, that's. You, it, please lecture me about Spider-Man, Mr. Japanese director who's never seen my stuff, or never seen the movie. I don't know. It just it didn't go well. We took a break. We took a long break after that.
By break, you mean like 2 years?
No, the good news is that we this actually caused such a foo-for-ah that we actually got the head of production to fly in from Australia the next morning for this meeting in Japan to set them straight and sit down with that side and go, you don't understand. It's about a meeting of them. We're trying to work with these guys, so knock it off. And that, you know, and the project is still in limbo out there somewhere, but it's something we want to get at someday. So anyway, I'm not crazy. That's the theme of Spider-Man. Theme of Spider-Man is responsibility.
There is something about cultural appropriation. There is something about, is it any less legit to get a different story out of it from when you're starting from a different set of beginning cultural standpoints?
Concrete examples. Give me a concrete example. I'm not even denying you. You actually make an interesting point, although you've ruined
example.
My story by doing so. But that's no.
I don't have anything off the top of my head. But I mean, look at how Let's reverse it. I mentioned.
I was going to say what have we imported that we take differently over here?
I think that a lot of people when Cowboy Bebop came over here, when I talked with friends, a lot of people responded to Spike as the character. Spike Spiegel is the main character.
Right.
But people responded to the relationship of that character with various other characters on the ship.
Okay.
When you read a lot of reviews, criticism in the sense of a dialectic, someone discussing the work, it responded a lot to the existential theme of existence, of consciousness, of free will versus so-and-so. Yeah. That's what people seem to respond to.
Okay.
And I'm just saying that does that make the American audience that's viewing this piece of work, that responds to this piece of work, as you said, we tend to go characters first and then extrapolate from there?
Yes.
Does that make our discussions and criticisms any less worthy because we are not the original intended audience?
This is a trick question. I want to say yes, but that's not right. No, of course it doesn't. It's the value.
That's the point of literature.
I know, the value. Oh, thank you, Daphna. Thank you. Let me write that down.
Wow, that was really obnoxious.
No, it's okay. No.
And this will be the last episode?
That's right. I'll have a new assistant next week. No. This is good. This is an open dialogue here. This is, I'm going to get hammered on the forums anyway, so... No. You're right. Whatever value a story has a lot to do with what the audience brings to it. Regardless of who that audience is, I agree. That's the beauty and the magic of storytelling is that the story is an entity in and of itself. It is, if I tell a story, how it is received by each individual member of the audience is a special, like that certain je ne sais quoi that you can't duplicate between each individual recipient of the story, and it's going to be different for everybody.
Because the story exists on two levels, authorial intent and what the heck you get out of it.
Exactly.
I mean, look at Star Wars or Iron Man. I talk about Iron Man way too much.
Okay.
But there's this assumption that when people went to Iron Man, a superhero movie, they went there for the fights.
Right.
What a lot of people came out of it was these characters were very fascinating.
Exactly. That was the best part of it.
Ebert had a review where he's like, you saw these characters on the screen, they spoke exactly one word, and you felt like they had history on the screen.
Yeah.
Which you don't often get from superheroes.
True.
Like platform action event
movies.
So some people went there and said, it didn't have enough fights.
Right.
That's the point of the movie. Other people went there and said, screw the fights, I want more talkie.
Who said they didn't have enough fights in that movie?
Oh, dude, IMDb commenters.
Wow.
I know, but what I'm saying is it doesn't make their criticism any less valid. They just went to a movie for a different reason.
And here's the thing about criticism.
Because they're on IMDb, you can completely discount it.
Well, A, yes, but B, the... How you say?
Without getting raked over the coals?
No, it's not even that. It's that, and this is a topic for another time because it's a big, broader topic.
It's a fun topic.
It's a great topic, but my feeling about criticism is this, that the only valid basis for criticism of art in any form is how well did it accomplish what it set out to do. That's it. There are no other benchmarks. There are no other yardsticks. If you came to a piece of art expecting something and it didn't deliver what you expected, that to some degree is your problem. And it shouldn't be the end of the world. You shouldn't, you have to learn to accept these things on the basis of which they're sold to you.
They're presented to you.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's my rant for today. So why don't we wrap up? We're talking about theme, we're talking about Spider-Man, we're talking about directors. All right, I guess we're done. So we will see you next week.
Hopefully with more stories of Wade threatening the populace of other countries.
Awesome.
And almost
exactly.
Starting international incidents.
That's my goal. All right, see you next week. Thanks.
Bye.